Welcome to Crossroads, the broadcast ministry of Montgomery's First Baptist Church, where you can discover God's personal plan and power to conquer your problems through Jesus Christ. Join us now as God's Word heals, encourages, and enlightens your spiritual life.
Would you please find your Bible and come with me to Joshua chapter 2. We're still tracking the children of Israel into the promised land. Joshua chapter 2 will begin in verse 1 in a moment. It may also help you to find this piece of paper entitled, Like Rahab, Move from Shame to Fame. We'll look at the Lord's gracious work, His amazing grace, through the lens of a life of a woman named Rahab. As we come to this very important study, this game-changing study, this study that can create a breakthrough in your own life, let me tell you a funny story. Now, don't hold this to good theology. It's just a funny story to make a point. Well, anyway, there was this woman, and she died. And she went up to heaven, and there was St. Peter at the pearly gates. And she walked up, and she said, oh, this is heaven. What do I need to do to get in? And he said, well, ma'am, you need to correctly spell a word. And she said, oh, I'm not good at spelling. What word? He said, you choose any word you want. You spell it correctly, you get in. She said, what about love? L-O-V-E. St. Peter said, that's correct. Welcome to heaven. So she comes in the pearly gates, and he said, I've got to run, do a quick job. I'm going to put you in charge of the gate. You guard the gate. So he goes off, and what would happen next? Except, all of a sudden, this woman's ex-husband shows up at the pearly gates. So here he is. Here's old Bill. And she looks at him and says, Bill, what are you doing here? He said, well, I just had a heart attack and died. I can't believe I've made it to heaven. She said, you hadn't made it in yet. He said, well, what do I have to do? She said, you've got to correctly spell a word. Well, what word do I have to spell? She thought a moment and said, Czechoslovakia. Now, here's the point of that story. We want God to be good to us. We want God to be gracious and merciful to us, don't we? We want to tap into His amazing grace, but we don't oftentimes pass it on to others. Oh, yes, we think we deserve God's goodness and grace, but do we share it with other people? You see, the core of the gospel is that God is in the business of transforming people who will trust Him. He will convey His amazing grace to anyone who will ask for it. Would you please make this note on the first point? God can transform anyone who puts their faith in Him. That's what the gospel is all about. It's God's amazing grace used to leverage our lives and transform us into the image of Christ. Think about it. When you follow Jesus, what do you see? You see Him in John chapter 2. Jesus, He goes to this wedding, and they've run out of refreshment, and Jesus transforms water into wine because He's illustrating His core purpose. Jesus is all about changing us from sinners to saints, from prostitutes to a princess, from a person of the night to a warrior of His light. That's what God does. He is the author and the architect of transformation in lives. In John chapter 3, after changing water to wine, Jesus meets with a very religious man. His name is Nicodemus. This was the original Nick at Night episode. And so Nicodemus comes to Jesus, and he is obviously religious, but he doesn't have a relationship to his Creator God. So Jesus says, you've got to be born again. You've got to be born again, and you do that by trusting Me, for God so loved the world. He so loved you, Nicodemus, that He's going to give His only Son. If you'll just believe in Me, if you'll just trust Me, you can have eternal life. What did Jesus do in John chapter 4? He's going through Samaria, and He meets a woman at the well. And that was a wild woman who needed a drink, I'm telling you. She had been married 5 times. She was living with a guy. She had a sordid moral past and background, and yet Jesus chose her. He picked her out. Most people would have written her off. He wrote her in the story. And this woman becomes the evangelist of Samaria. track Jesus to John chapter 5. He goes to the pool of Bethesda, and there's a man who's been there for 38 years. He's lame. He's crippled. He's beat up. He's forgotten. He's been written off and written out. But Jesus writes him into God's story, and he says, do you want to be healed? And that man who was broken, hopeless, helpless, he said, count me in, Lord. And that's what Jesus did. He scooped him up, and he touched him with his amazing grace, and that man went from lame to leaping. That's because that's what God does. Friends, maybe you feel like you've been written out and written off by others, but God wants to write you in to his story for his glory. Maybe you've written yourself off because you've made mistakes and ruined opportunities, and you've shot yourself in the foot time and again, but don't give up. You see, don't write yourself off. God wants to write you in. And I want to prove that point today as we look at the Lord's amazing grace through the lens of a biblical hero named Rahab. If you look on your outline, she is a hero of faith because she makes the honor roll of faith in Hebrews 11. This woman who was a pagan prostitute, listen to Hebrews 11 verse 31 on your worksheet. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. This lady who was a prostitute becomes a princess. This is a fantastic story of a harlot who becomes God's hero. And think about it. If God can do that with Rahab, what can he do with me and you? Come with me to the story. It's in Joshua chapter 2. And let's pick up in verse 1. We'll jump to verse 8 in a moment. Then Joshua, the son of Nun, sent two men as spies secretly from Shittim, saying, go and view the land, especially Jericho. So they went, and they came into the house of a harlot, a prostitute named Rahab, who lodged there. She receives them. She hides them from the authorities. Look at verse 8. Now, before they lay down, she came up to them on the rooftop. And she said to the men, I know that the Lord has given you Israelites the land, that the terror of you has fallen upon us, and all the inhabitants of the land have melted away in fear before you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And when we heard it, our hearts melted with fear. We had no courage remaining in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is the God in heaven above and on earth beneath. Verse 12, now therefore, please swear to me by the Lord, since I have dealt kindly with you, that you will also deal kindly with my father's household, and give me a pledge of truth. Spare my father and my mother, my brothers and my sisters, with all who belong to them, and deliver our lives from death. So the men said to her, our life for yours. If you do not tell this business of ours, it shall come about that when the Lord gives us the land, that we will deal kindly and faithfully with you. Look at verse 18. Unless when we come into the land, you tie this cord of scarlet thread in the window through which you let us down, and gather to yourself into the house your father, your mother, your brothers, and all your father's household. And it shall come about that anyone who goes out of the doors of your house and into the street, his blood shall be upon his own head, and we shall be free. But anyone who is with you in the house, his blood shall be on our head if a hand is laid upon him. Let's pray. Oh, Father, help us. Help us right now see through the lens of the life of Rahab your amazing grace. Not only did it transform this woman, but your grace wants to transform us. Lord, please get me out of the way that your spirit might take your living, transforming truth and apply it to every receptive heart. I pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, here's what I see. I see in the story of Rahab, this harlot who becomes a hero, I see a picture of saving faith. Let me show you five features of it. Let's go to number one. Saving faith is initiated by God's amazing grace. Saving faith is initiated by God's amazing grace. We've been talking about it throughout the service. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this is not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not by works, so no one can boast. Here we see Joshua and the children of Israel about to enter the promised land that God has reserved for them. Now, the blocker is this city of Jericho. It's an ancient city. It is fortified. The walls are 30 feet tall and 30 feet thick. They are a warrior people. So Joshua and company, they've got to go through Jericho. So Joshua, he sends some spies to check out the land. God told him to send these spies. Was it to check out the land, or did they go there because God knew there was a woman named Rahab who was waiting there and seeking him? Do you remember in Acts chapter 10? Paul had gone to the house of Simon the tanner in Joppa, and there was a man named Cornelius who was seeking God, and he sent an entourage of party to go find Peter, that is, and Peter was needing to go and preach the gospel over in Cornelius's house. You see, God goes where he is sought after. Could it be that Rahab's story is included because she was seeking God? That's precisely what I believe, because friends, here's the great truth. Every salvation story begins with God's grace. Every salvation story begins with God's grace. It says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, God is patient. He is patient so that people will not perish, but they will come to repentance in Him. God didn't design people to simply be cordwood for the fires of hell. No, God is forming a people, and He wants us to turn from our sin and turn to Him and be part of His family and work forever. That is your ultimate divine design. God doesn't want people to perish. He wants them to be saved. We also learn in John 15, verse 16, a great truth. You see, every salvation story starts with God's work. The Scripture says in John 15, verse 16, the Scripture says that you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and appointed you to bear much fruit. You see, the Lord Jesus has chosen you. He didn't write you off. He has written you in. He has written you into His story. Doesn't it feel good to be chosen? Oh, it feels so good when somebody calls your name. Do you remember when you were a little kid on the elementary school playground? In our school in Georgetown, Texas, we would always choose up sides for different games at recreation. And I bet you would do the same. We would play kickball, or we would have relay races. Now, when I was in third grade, I was an unusually large child, and I was really heavy. I weighed 116 pounds, according to my third grade report card. I was twice as big as some of my peers. So when it came to running relay races or kickball, guess who got chose last? Oh, don't you kind of feel a little sorry for me, you know? I'd be the very last one on the playground to be chosen, and I'd feel kind of bad. It would hurt my feelings, and okay, we'll take you, Jay, if we have to. We know that you're slow as molasses in the wintertime, but come on. But when we played football, because I was twice as big as these other kids, who got called first? Well, it was old J-Boy, because I could crush these other little small wimpy kids. Yeah, that's what I did. I was the one they feared. But so I got to be first, and that felt good. Come on, Jay. We need you on our team. You see, that's what Jesus is saying. You did not choose me, but I chose you. I called your name. I've written you into my story to God's glory. Friends, that's the core of the gospel. Did you deserve it? Did you do anything to merit this kindness and grace? Of course not. That's why grace is so amazing. But this is the core of the gospel. For by grace you have been saved through faith. It's not of yourself. It's the gift of God, lest any person should boast. Now, in case you're feeling a little bit uncomfortable about God choosing a pagan prostitute to do His work, maybe you're thinking, well, gosh, why didn't He choose some more respectable person in Jericho? Why didn't He choose the mayor of the city? Why didn't He choose some benevolent, kind man? No, He just didn't do it. Now imagine this. Imagine God was going to destroy Montgomery, and He was going to pick out one person as a rescue agent in all of the city. Do you think that He would go down to some low part of the city and find some streetwalking prostitute, some crack addict to save? Did you know that's exactly what He did here? He didn't call on a pastor. He didn't call on a city official. He chose a very unlikely person who was seeking him. So you better put that deep into your heart. Do you know where God goes? He goes where he is invited, friends. And here, this woman was calling out to him, and she became the recipient of his amazing grace. Reminds me of the story of John Newton. He's the man who wrote the hymn, Amazing Grace. Do you know John Newton's story? He was born in England in 1725. By the time he was 23, he went to work as a sailor on a slave ship. He started traveling and picking up slaves and buying and selling human beings. He got really good at it because he was an unusually vile and cruel man. He decided that he would be the captain of his own slave ship. Can you imagine that's how he made his living? By buying and selling other people and treating them as if they were animals? That's what he did. Fast forward to the year 1753. He was headed back with a cargo of slaves. He was at the coast of Ireland when a vicious storm captured his ship. And then it was ripping it apart. It looked like all was lost. Everything was lost. And John Newton gets down on his knees because he had a praying mother. And he begins to cry out to God. And he repents of his sin. And in that moment, he is converted. Somehow, miraculously, the ship stayed together. The storm dissipated. And they made it back to the shore and to the harbor. When he got back, he left being a slave trader. And he went to school and became a pastor. Fast forward to the year 1773. You see, John Newton is a poet. And he wrote these words, Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, and now I see. Do you know what he was essentially doing? In the first sermon in January of 1773, he was telling his testimony through a poem. He wrote that poem as an illustration for his sermon. A man puts it to music, and it becomes the most famous single piece of music in the Christian library, and one of the most famous songs in the world. Friends, Newton's story is my story. Newton's story is your story, because we're all trophies of God's amazing grace, just like Rahab. Well, let me show you something else about saving faith. It's initiated by God's amazing grace, and number two, it's generated by hearing about God. Beginning here in verse 8, Rahab tells the spies that she has heard about God's activity. She heard how he opened up the Red Sea, how they defeated the Amorites because of God's great power and activity. You see, the first step of faith is hearing about God and then growing your faith. It's hearing about God and choosing to trust him. For by grace are you saved through faith. Now, let me ask you the key question. Where do you get this faith? The Bible says, and look on your worksheet, faith comes by hearing the message, hearing the word. It comes through hearing the word of Christ. You see, that's how you build up your faith. If you want to build up muscles of faith, then become a student of God's living, transforming word. God's word is like food. What food is to your body, God's word is to your spirit. That's how you build great muscles of faith. I've talked to many people who have suffered tragedy, they've had setbacks, and do you know what they need? They need to reinflate their faith. Their faith is like a flat tire. So the goal of God is for you to take his word, attach it to your life, and learn to grow your faith. The word of God is where it begins. When you hear the word of God, that's how you link to saving faith. I have a friend in our church named Ken Love. Some of you know he was a CPA for many years with Jackson Thornton. A lot of people don't know that Ken Love, while he was a CPA with Jackson Thornton, he was an alcoholic and he was addicted to gambling. His life was enormously off course. It was so botched up. He was the white shirt wearing CPA by day, but at night he was way off course. Well, he started being curious about Christianity. Oh, you know a lot about Christianity in Montgomery, but he never connected. But he started listening to a radio station that I love. It's WLBF. Do you know what that stands for? We Live by Faith. 89.1 on the dial. 15 years ago, he was driving down to Troy, and he was listening to the Word of God being proclaimed on WLBF, and he was so overwhelmed by his sin, by all of the mistakes that he had made, he pulled over on the side of the road around Sykes and Conn, and he cried out to God in that parking lot with bitter tears like John Newton repenting. And as he heard the Word of God, he was born again in his car that day. You see, there's power about exposing yourself to the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing the Word of God. And that's what I would urge you to do, friends. Fill your life full with God's Word. It will transform you. But there's another picture here I see in Rahab's journey. Number three, saving faith is demonstrated by good deeds. You see, we add good works to our faith. We don't do good works to be saved. We do good works because we are saved. For instance, look at your worksheet. James 2 reveals, in the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous by what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. You're not saved by your works, but you work because you're saved. That's how it fits together. It says in Ephesians 2:10 that you are created in Christ Jesus to do good works. That's the goal of God. Once you get connected to Christ as an expression of your gratitude for his amazing grace, you want to serve. You can't do enough for the Lord who has given you this great gift. You see, that's what happened to Rahab. She demonstrated her faith by her works. She did three things. Number one, she hid those Hebrew spies. She saved their life. Number two, she lowered those spies over the wall by their hanging on to a crimson cord. And then number three, she placed that crimson cord, that scarlet cord, in her window, and that pictures the Passover. Do you know what happened at the Passover? The death angel saw the blood of the lamb and went over that house. And here the Israelites were coming. They were going to decimate all the people of Jericho with one exception. And that is the home that had the scarlet thread hanging out the window. You see, this is a picture of what God expects of us. He wants us to demonstrate our faith by loving him through our works, our service. Well, let me take you to number four. Saving faith is then communicated to the people we love. Saving faith is communicated to the people we love. Here was their bargain. Rahab said, I'll save your life if you will save the lives of my family. Now, I would imagine she had some very interesting conversations with her family members. Can't you just imagine what it would be like to overhear those conversations? I can hear Rahab going to her cousins, her brothers, her sisters, and saying, hey, everybody, the Israelites are coming. They're going to destroy our city, and everybody in the city is going to die except those people who are in my house. So you've got to come to my house if you want to be saved. Otherwise, if you're outside of my house, you are dead. Now, can't you just imagine one of her relatives hearing her say that, and he says, well, aren't you Miss Hottie Toddy? Well, aren't you really something special, Rahab? I mean, should I remind you of who you are and your past? And you're saying you've got some sort of special communication connection with God? Oh, give me a break, Rahab. You know, if we're all going to go down, let's go down and have a party about it. Let's have a hurricane watching party. If we go down, well, let's just go down all together. But I'm not coming to your house. Who do you think you are? You're so special. Can't you just hear him mock her? But did it faze her? No. She kept rounding up her family members, and she did it in faith, believing that everybody who would be in her house would be saved. Friends, that's my job. Friends, that's your job. Look on your worksheet. Listen to what Paul said. He got it right. I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first to the Jews and then to the Gentiles. Paul had such a deep sense of burden for the Israelites. Look what he said in Romans 10. Brothers, my heart desire and prayer to God for the Israelites is that they may be saved. Oh, our goal is to see people come to Christ. That's why Jesus gives us the assignment of making disciples of all people in all places. If we are saved, then we must communicate the gospel to the people that are around us that need Jesus. Why? Because he is the singular Savior. Jesus said it like this in John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. So what we must do is to communicate that good news. Well, I see one last feature of saving faith, and it's number five. It's validated by a change in choices. It is validated by a change in choices. Rahab had become new as she trusted God. She's the new creation that's referred to in 2 Corinthians 5. Rahab was tired of compromise. She was tired of selling herself. She was tired of living on life's low road. So she was ready to make some changes. So she chose something new. She chose a new faith, a new family, and a new future. Think about this. She chose a new faith. She had been a pagan prostitute, and now she was a believer in the one true God, Jehovah God. She had had a pagan family. Now she has a new family. She's an Israelite. And now she has a new future. Do you know what happened? Do you know the rest of the story for Rahab? Rahab leaves Jericho after it's destroyed, along with her household and family, and she marries a man named Salmon. Salmon and Rahab, they have a son, and his name is Boaz. Boaz, he resides in a place called Bethlehem, and he marries a Moabite girl named Ruth, and they have a man, their child, named Obed. Obed has a son named Jesse. Jesse has a son named David, who becomes king of Israel. If you go to Matthew chapter 1, verse 5, do you know what you discover about Rahab? That Rahab, she makes the lineage of King Jesus. So here we have a prostitute who becomes a princess, a zero who becomes a hero. We have a lady of the night who becomes God's warrior of light, because she is not written out of God's story, but she's written into God's story for His glory. And that same opportunity is available to you. Let's pray. Oh, dear Father, thank You for Your amazing grace. If You could do it for Rahab, You can do it for anybody. Lord, You're making available, even right now, a new faith, a new family, and a new future to anybody who will choose to trust You. Father, help our faith even right now to grow, and help it be physically and tangibly demonstrated as people respond to Your amazing grace. And I pray for that in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for sharing worship with us. We trust God has used this broadcast for your spiritual growth and encouragement. If this ministry has touched your life, please let us know. If you'd like to share in the cost of this broadcast, you may send your gifts and support to First Baptist Church. Your partnership with us will help strengthen and extend this ministry and will be greatly appreciated. And remember, when you are at the crossroads, follow Christ.